and gentlemen, let's go. Let's go. We ain't got no time to waste. Let's go. Let's go. You are now listening to Jason Anderson, and you are in the zone.
The Zone is presented by Guaranteed Foods, delivering all-natural food to Midwestern families since 1958. Enjoy healthier food, more free time, free delivery, and better value. Go to GuaranteedFoods.com.
All right, a Monday edition of The Zone right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you. Dylan Michaels, we had up until 2 o'clock. We've got you for the next 4 hours. Boy, a lot of stuff to get into and talk about today. We will talk with Josh Kaiser, One Royal Way podcast at noon. Mick Schaefer will hang out with us in the 1 o'clock hour. KSHB 41 Sports Director. We'll talk with him, learn funniest best, and, of course, bracket of sound. We eliminate a couple of sound bites, and we also preview the national championship game with some sound bites. But a lot of stuff to get into and talk about today. Women's college basketball on the docket, men's national championship tonight. Royals sweep the White Sox in a four-game set, and maybe a seismic shift in college basketball with Rob Lanier being fired at SMU. I mean, that's what happened, right? Rob Lanier was fired at SMU. Andy Enfield left USC to take the SMU job. Eric Musselman left Arkansas to take the USC job. And Calipari is now the Arkansas head coach. Rob Lanier is one of the biggest movers in college sports. No matter what anybody wants to say moving forward, Caitlin Clark and Rob Lanier maybe had the biggest impact yesterday across the country in college sports on the women's side and the men's side as well. We will get into that move by John Calipari to Arkansas. Mike Dana returns to the Chiefs, 3 years, 24. So we'll talk about that as well. We do start off the show with introducing the newest member of the Zone here on Sports Radio 810 WHB from 10 to 2. It is none other than, of course, Sterling Holmes, now joining the show here in the Zone on Sports Radio 810 WHB, along with Dylan, myself, and now Sterling Holmes, a part of the show moving forward. Sterling, welcome into the show, brother.
I am as surprised as you are.
Are you?
Yeah.
When
I sat down today, I have no idea.
If I woke up tomorrow with my hair sewn to the carpet, I wouldn't be more surprised than I am right now. I am as surprised as anybody. Josh left. I'm like, well, I just want to do the show the rest of my life by myself. I am tired of people coming and going. I'm tired of being left at the altar, damn it.
I won't leave you, Jason.
You better not. You better not. Sterling Holmes hanging out with us for the future. Not just right now, not just today. Part of the show. Sterling, welcome in, man. It is good to have you. I'm pumped. I'm excited for the show moving forward. So welcome and being a part of it.
Thank you. It felt like my first day of school. I had my backpack. I had a little calendar so I can book guests. And so like I'm walking with a full-on calendar. I have my lunch because, again, what did I learn? I learned that whenever I fill in for you, I get extremely hungry because it's during lunchtime.
You got to figure that out, man.
So I figured it out. I meal prepped. I made enchiladas and refried beans.
Last night or this morning?
Last night.
Okay.
So
today?
Yes.
Like you made them last night for dinner? They were leftovers? Or you made them last night before you went to bed?
Last night for me and my fiance, because then you get the double whammy. Then she thinks I cooked for her. She's not listening right now. She's at work, so she doesn't know that this was actually for me and my leftovers. But it also was for her, so it's a win-win.
Yeah.
She thinks I'm a good chef. I made food for her. And I needed some for today, too.
There you go. And maybe you'll get used to it. I don't know. 5 years in, and I still haven't figured out the whole lunch thing. So sometimes I eat lunch. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I snack. Sometimes I bring Guaranteed Foods with me. Sometimes not. Not sure. Texas star after first break. And gone, Sterling. Maybe. I don't know. We'll find out.
It's like the Spinal Tap drummer. You know the Spinal Tap
I'm going to take your word for it.
You've never seen Spinal Tap?
I have seen Spinal Tap.
But when the drummer...
This show goes to 11 and then goes to 2.
Nails.
Thank you.
But I love when the drummer just keeps leaving. There's just new drummers, and that's basically you with co-hosts. And hopefully I'm not the one that spontaneously combusts.
Hopefully not.
Yeah.
Let's see. Maybe just from time to time in some rants, because Corey has spontaneously combusted in some rants. Josh spontaneously combusted into a turkey when Matt Derrick and I were talking one time, and Josh, he did that one time. So maybe that will happen with you eventually. We'll find out. But Sterling Holmes now part of the show. Welcome in. And looking forward to the future and the fun that we will have. Text says, watch out, Sterling. Jason likes to run off co-host. It's been all me. I worked behind the scenes to get Corey's lovely bride an amazing job in Salt Lake City. I worked behind the scenes. I did my due diligence. I worked and worked and worked.
My fiance just said, I'm listening, LOL. So, yes, no, that dinner was for you, babe. That was for you, not for me and the leftovers.
By the way, I was going to say, that would be a real surprise if your fiance wasn't listening on your first day as a part of the new show from 10 to 2. That would be interesting.
If any show that they would listen, it would be this one.
Yeah, starting tomorrow, we can do whatever we want and talk about whatever we want about her, with her, her in mind, innuendos about it, whatever it is. We can do that starting tomorrow. Today, clearly not. From 10 to 2, we have to be school appropriate.
Yeah.
From 10 to 2 until 2 o'clock for her ears. That's really it. My wife doesn't listen, so we can say whatever we want. Even my first show, she's like, just so you know, say whatever you want. I'm not listening. She put that in there, too, which was odd. I'm not sure. I don't know. Maybe she is listening. From time to time, she'll text me like, I'm listening. Okay, great. I appreciate that. We've got you for the next, well, now 3 hours and 48 minutes. So we are really rolling along. Before we are done today, we will have a total eclipse of the heart. And there will be a full total eclipse today. What, 154? Around then is when it'll be, what, 90% here in the area? So it won't be completely dark. It won't be within the, you know, full 100% coverage sort of swath of the country that's just southeast of us. But we'll get like 90%. I don't know how dark it'll be around here at 90%. I'm not sure. We'll see. But I'm excited about it. I'm pumped. Looking forward to it. The next time it'll make its path through the United States in a solar eclipse, total solar eclipse, that parts of the United States will be dark, it's like 2044, 2045, around there. So we've got a few years. So at that point, Mahomes will be thinking about whether or not he wants to finish out the remainder of his new contract in 2044. And the Royals will still be trying to get a downtown stadium. So looking forward to that in 2044, wherever we are and whatever we're doing. I don't know that I'll be here. We'll all find out. But today,
dark.
We've got our glasses ready to go. I've never looked through these glasses that haven't been like looking into the sun. So I didn't realize that the glasses are just completely blacked out. So I'm assuming that when you look at the sun, you'll be able to see stuff unless we got defective glasses. I'm not sure. I'll put them on my forehead like I'm a member of Star Trek, but that's what I'll do for now.
We've had one recently, right?
2017, we had one that wasn't a full.
Not full.
Not full. It didn't go dark or anything. But
so we used similar ones. I was working downtown at the time, and yes, it looks like you can't see a thing until the moment. You will be able to see it, and it's that way so that you don't, you know.
But what if you're not looking the right way? Like, what if you're looking the opposite way from the
sun? It's literally the only thing you'll be able to see in those glasses at the time.
Yeah. If you're looking the other way, I'm not sure that you know how this works, Sterling.
I mean, the sun can be in multiple areas.
Not at one time. Over the course of the day, you are right. The sun will move over the course of the day. In fact, it will go from east to west.
Right.
Typically. Not very often does it go north-south, Sterling. I'm just giving you a heads up.
But my point
east
is...
east to west, typically... But if you look at it, even though we are rotating at a very fast rate, that sun's going to stay right
there.
Seems
slow. if it's so fast, why am I not falling off? Okay,
that's a great point. Because it's flat.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Duh.
When you put these on, though,
yeah,
and you can't see anything.
Right.
Am I going to look straight up? It's going to be 154, so now I'm looking a little bit west, right? But what?
According to you.
With these glasses on, I know it from the Chili Peppers song.
Every part of your information in your life comes from music, doesn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Mine comes from movies, so yeah, there you go.
But the point is, when you throw these on, I might be looking not the correct way.
Well, here's what I would advise.
I need you to get behind me.
Here's what we'll do.
We're not going to do the old "I'm going to teach you how to play golf" thing. Okay, that's happening.
We're,
okay?
we're
not teaching how to punt.
The Titanic
or a putt. Okay, it's all in your hips.
Is it the Titanic with Jack gets behind? You know, to make sure I'm looking the right way, Jason. That's what I need
to do.
Right here on the ledge.
Deck. Okay. Yeah. I'm not going to do that because this is a pro tip for you. Before you put the glasses on, have an idea of where the sun is. Then put the glasses on. Then look to where the sun is. That's what I would do. That's just me.
That was my idea too.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, 43 years of living.
You took my idea.
Yeah. I feel like, Dylan, that's not really our idea. I feel like that's just a general understanding of how the world works.
Yeah. Situational awareness would be the.
I was going Tony with it. See, I was going a different route. I was going to say you could play for Iowa, not named Caitlin Clark, because situational awareness lacking, understanding spatial awareness as to who's around you and things like that.
What a segue!
There you go.
What a segue!
Tech says the sun doesn't move; the Earth moves around the sun. See. So it's not in different spots. My wife tried to sun my children yesterday when they were playing like the where you have the card on your forehead and you got to guess whatever object you are, right? I think it was the sun, and she said something about a star, and they're like, "No, it's not a star." And then she said, "Well, the sun is a star." She said, "No, the sun's the sun." I'm like, it's a little too early for that. No, I was right. It was a star. I said it was a star.
It's the largest star, correct?
I'm going to take
one of the largest stars.
I mean, I have
stars.
Never been to outer
the
space.
Sure.
I've never seen every single star, so I don't know like the size of all the stars. But if you think it's the largest star, I'm going to take your word for it. I'm trying to keep these glasses on while I'm doing the show. So, all right, 913-912-4810. Certainly appreciate all of the astronomers out there that are letting us know how the world and the sun and the solar system works. At one point when I was in school, I thought that would be something I was going to do in my life. Then I realized there's a lot of math involved and a lot of hard work and studying and things like that. And I'm like, so what about sports? Can I do something in sports?
Did you take Astronomy 101 as well? And that was the realization point. That was mine, at least.
I loved it. Astrology 101. I think I got like a B, which is pretty badass for me. I mean, that means I actually tried, or somewhat tried. You know, if I wanted an A, I got, you know, Fred Lamer's course at Northwest. Nobody gets an A in communication law. I'm like, all right, well, challenge accepted. Got an A. Then I went back to being lazy.
You guys are giving me
back to not caring anymore.
Great leisure ideas for space.
Great.
It's going to be great.
That's awesome.
Also,
there you
is
go.
Pluto back? Do we know if Pluto's back to being a planet or if
he's on
just
the TV all the time in my house? My son's first stuffed animal dog is named Pluto. So everywhere around our house. So I believe Pluto is present at all times. I don't know if it's back being a planet or not, but or a dwarf planet or whatever the different definition they're using for it, or just like a third cousin of a planet, you know, that's there. I'm not really sure.
I think it's twice removed now.
Is it a third cousin twice removed on your father's side?
Yeah.
Cool. 913-912-4810. Texas, in 2044, you'll still be hosting The Zone. Sterling will be gone, though. Oh, I'll be on my, like, ninth. There is somebody out there that is in junior high right now.
Whoa.
That will be hosting The Night Show in 2043. And then in 2044, I'll be introducing, all right, welcome in, Jackson.
It's like when people are like, I was watching Tom Brady when I was a kid, and now I'm catching passes.
Yeah. Let's welcome in Aiden. Aiden is joining the show. Let's welcome in Noah. Trying to think of the younger generation's names that are in, like, elementary school and junior high right now that eventually in 2044 we'll be introducing as part of the show.
I thought you meant Aiden O'Connell. Finally,
that's fine.
You know, wanted to
glasses
be with a winner.
Off. Hopefully that doesn't happen when the sun's up there. All right, 913-912-4810. So there you go. Sterling, welcome into the show. Looking forward to the next 2 or 3 years, depending on what your next move is after that. So very excited about that. And if you don't know Sterling, we'll all get to know him even more. Tech says, I'm not an astronomer, but I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express. And the sun is not even close to the biggest star. There you go. But it is the closest star. So that makes it the biggest, though, right? If it's the closest, wouldn't that make it the biggest? Like if you're standing right next to a car,
I always thought it was
and
the
then
brightest.
There's another car that's like 50 feet away, the biggest car to you would be the one right in front of you, at least from what it would look like.
Because
okay, you could squish the other car with your hand. You could just look right at it and like squish your head.
Can we agree that the star or that the sun is the most important star? I feel like that we can all agree on.
Yeah, I would say so. I would say it's my favorite star. That and Dylan.
Oh.
More Zone next. This is the Dan Band, right?
Unfortunately, no.
Oh, no. No Dan Band on this one? Come on.
I would like to keep my job. So I didn't play that, but I will be playing it at some point.
You ain't going anywhere, Dylan. You're our biggest star. Tech says, I thought Taylor Swift was our biggest star. I'll go with that one, too.
Second biggest.
Yeah, second biggest. That's fine. The Sun, Taylor Swift, whatever. Everything does revolve around her, seems like, in the football world. 913-912-4810. Tech says, Jason goes through co-hosts like the Royals go through relievers. Okay.
I really hope I'm not Will Smith. Really hope that.
Well, we'll see. I was talking about the younger kids, younger generation kids' names that will be the co-host in 2045, the next eclipse. Said, your co-host is Sterling. We are there, bro. So that makes sense. 913-912-4810. All right, let's get into the stories around sports and what has permeated and been the biggest news. And that is the national championship game yesterday with South Carolina knocking off Iowa. And I've talked about it this year that the attention that my family has paid to women's sports this year is more than ever. We haven't watched as much women's basketball in the past as we have this year. My wife and a really good, you know, basketball player. My son watches whatever basketball is on. My brother coached, you know, women's basketball for a long time. So it's not like there is anything against it. It's just that, you know, the interest level with some of the local teams. We watch K-State this year a good portion. As I've said before, with the Glenn twins that are there, we watched Iowa whenever Caitlin Clark was on. And then, you know, sort of paying attention ancillary to South Carolina remains undefeated. Kim Mulkey and LSU continuing to root against her. Not the players, but against her. You know, that sort of interest that was there. And I told the story on Monday night when Iowa was getting ready to play LSU that my son loves baseball practice. I mean, yesterday after the Women's National Championship game was over, boom, let's go out and play baseball. So last Monday when Iowa was getting ready to play LSU, my son has baseball practice. It's going to be in the middle of the game. But it was raining on Monday. And so I told him when I picked him up, I'm like, hey, dude, baseball practice is canceled tonight. He's like, yes, we get to watch Caitlin tonight. I'm like, yeah, that's right. So he is in, right, in watching. And obviously, there's a large portion of people that are in and watching because of what Caitlin Clark has done, because of the influence she has had on women's basketball this year and the last couple of years. For last year, knocking off South Carolina in the Final Four, and then the game against LSU. And this year, getting back to that spot, knocking off LSU in the Elite Eight, the breaking all the scoring records, right? And all the while bringing in ratings, bringing in people watching, but bringing in controversy and bringing in people that are looking for ways to then chip away at what she has done. Oh, well, she's not the GOAT. Oh, well, she's not this. She's not. Oh, she's a really good scorer. Oh, there have been other women's basketball players that are way better than her. That's fine if that's your opinion. But it is really difficult to discredit and discount what Caitlin Clark has done for the women's game. And I think it's part of the story yesterday is, you know, how many people were watching because of what Caitlin Clark has done to increase the visibility of the sport. But also while watching, for whatever reason, we also saw Dawn Staley in South Carolina cap off four straight Final Fours, an undefeated season, and going back to 2022 in the SEC championship game when they lost to, I believe, Tennessee, Tennessee or Kentucky, one of those two, in the SEC championship game, Dawn Staley and South Carolina are 80-1 since that time. 80-1. That one loss is last year in the Final Four to Iowa. 80-1. They are potentially a loss to Iowa in the national semifinals last year from winning three straight national championships. They lost to Iowa. Iowa then lost to LSU. We don't know if South Carolina would have beaten LSU. LSU could have beaten South Carolina last year, and we might just be talking about coming back this year and winning. But I think all of those forces sort of combine with South Carolina being as good as they were and it feeling like Caitlin Clark was sort of trying to bring a group of players along that are on the national stage, but let's be honest, if you're looking at the teams that were there, there was one side that was clearly better, and then there was the best player on the floor in Caitlin Clark trying to will that particular team to victory. I think the bigger picture of what we're looking at and people watching is Caitlin Clark and the influence on women's basketball. But maybe the story specifically yesterday could be Dawn Staley and capping off an undefeated season and this phenomenal four-year run. And they also were a one-loss team in the 2020 tournament when it was canceled. So we might be talking about, you know, five straight years going to a Final Four or winning these national championships. She's been that good. But I have found it interesting some of the previous players that have gone out of their way to sort of pick away and chisel and cut down in different ways what Caitlin Clark has done to find the negatives, to find the deficiencies, to bring up things where she is lesser than, as opposed to this is amazing what's going on right now. Because there is clearly a hint of jealousy. There's a hint of, wait a minute, I was doing this too. Why didn't I get that attention? Understandable, because the women that came before Caitlin Clark were also badass players. But Caitlin Clark and how she plays and the 30-foot jumpers, the logo shots, the, you know, intensity she plays with, and not on a super team. People hate super teams. We've seen that in the NBA. People hate super teams. UConn and Tennessee of the past have been super teams. And that's why we look at some of the players as like, well, you know, you've got to win a championship if you're Caitlin Clark to be one of the greats. Yes, and if she'd have joined UConn with Paige Beckers in them, she probably would have a couple championships. But we also wouldn't be viewing her the same way. But I think both can coexist of how great South Carolina and Dawn Staley have been, while Caitlin Clark being a huge reason as to why all of these records are being broken in women's college sports and women's college basketball that we were watching this year and watched on Monday night. And Friday night basketball being the most watched basketball game on ESPN ever, NBA, men's or women's college basketball, on Friday night, that got the most watched basketball game ever on ESPN.
This shows me that women's basketball has arrived. When you actually have storylines and you're finally finding hate for a player who's great, that to me says the sport has arrived. LeBron James gets hate all the time. Michael Jordan, all of a sudden, now you're seeing the current generation all of a sudden backtrack and they try and disparage Michael Jordan. It happens with every single great player, but that doesn't happen unless you have people who actually care. This, to me, means the sport is finally starting to get the recognition it deserves, and it comes with Caitlin Clark, and it comes with the territory, and she has been understanding the entire time. And you're right. When she's hitting, I think her average three-point depth was like 25.9 feet this year, which the NBA line's just over 23. She's shooting, I mean, she's 2 feet. Her average,
she made a 30-footer yesterday.
It's insane what she's done. But again, this to me is great for college basketball. When you're seeing, it's a little different. I understand the former women's basketball players being upset. They're like, hey, where was my recognition back then? You know, Bob Cousy got his. Wilt Chamberlain still gets his. All these former NBA players get this. But that's just the way it goes. It sucks. But sports happens this way. Mm-hmm. Caitlin Clark is ushering in a new generation of sports fans for women's basketball. You should try and build her up, but the fact that she does get the hate that she gets, to me, again, it shows that there are actually people who are starting to care more about this, and we're having these legitimate discussions. It's great for the game.
The Saturday or Friday night. So Friday night game with all the ratings and everybody watching. and the end of the UConn-Iowa game was also an indication of the sport arriving. When you've got a call that late in a game and Twitter erupts, when it is a correct call of a moving screen, the angles that they showed weren't great, but it was a correct call. She moved. She stuck her leg out. She threw the elbow. She gave a little bit of a hit to a phenomenal defensive player, and the controversy and Twitter blew up. What a terrible call. The referee stepping in. You can't make that call at that time, the absurdity of that conversation. They've been letting that go all game. When that happened, when it was people with caps locks on, with exclamation points, and arguing back and forth of if it was a right call or a bad call at the end of a women's Final Four game, which Final Four game is huge, right? It's not the end of a women's first round game, right? Sure. That we would be arguing maybe over the men's game, but the end of a women's Final Four game, not the national championship, and you've got people that are reacting that way because it was that close of a game. It was a one-point game. Iowa turns the ball over twice in their last couple of possessions. UConn comes down and capitalizes, hits a three. Then they've got the ball down one with like 10 seconds to play, trying to get a play for Paige Beckers open, and they call the offensive foul. And people erupt at that point. If people didn't care, if they didn't have some sort of an emotional interest in it, they wouldn't have reacted the way that they did. It was the reaction that people got when James Bradbury clearly held Juju Smith-Schuster in the Super Bowl. And it was, they've been letting that go all game. What a terrible call. The refs have to be a part of it. You can't make that call at that time in the game. How are you going to let the players decide it, etc.? That's also part of the women's game arriving, is when you've got the controversy over a call late in the game.
Yeah, and they showed another angle that was circulating on the X, where I think everyone understands, okay,
morning people woke up and were like, oh, yeah, that clear foul. Okay, I'm wrong.
Well, because in...
Not me. I said it was the right call at the time, but whatever.
But live, I thought, that's brutal. Live, I go, how are you? Because live, they give you horrendous camera angles.
The angles weren't great.
And so I'm sitting here going, I wouldn't have called that either. And then you see the ones that circulate and you go, oh, I have no idea how you don't call that. And I think the best comparison is if you are a Chiefs fan and you agree that James Bradbury was holding Juju, well, then you have to agree, at least in my opinion, that yes, this is the same thing. Just because it happens with 3.9 seconds left in the game doesn't mean that all of a sudden you can do anything. You can just maul people now and that's legal as well. No, that's a clear penalty. Yes, you try and let them maybe get away with more. Same time, then at that point, you're penalizing the defense. You have to let them play as well. So I think it was the right call. And going back to what you were talking about earlier, if Caitlin Clark would have gone to UConn or gone to LSU or joined a super team. I mean, Van Lith tried to with LSU, right?
Yeah.
But it was almost like Kobe Bryant when he was playing with Smush Parker and Kwame Brown and Chris Mim and Vladimir Radmanovich. You're sitting there going like, what do you want him to do here? When he gets Paul Gasol and these other guys, you go, okay, now he can judge you. It's like when Dirk Nowitzki, I think everyone always judges the championship Dirk won with the Mavs as way more important than the ones that the multiple that LeBron won with the Miami Heat, because they had Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh and Ray Allen, this plethora of talent surrounding him. Like, that was what Caitlin Clark was. Caitlin Clark was Kobe Bryant with Smush Parker and Kwame.
Well, I put the tweet out last night, the X, whatever you want to call it, post. I just put a tweet out that South Carolina versus Iowa, and it was 2007 Spurs and Cavs.
Yeah.
With that Spurs team, and then the Cavs with LeBron and
Marshall?
Drew Gooden and Anderson Varejao.
Oh, they're the big Z, though.
And that group, yeah. That was the group of Cavs players in 2007 versus the big three of the Spurs and Pop. And that's what it felt like. It's, you know, South Carolina, I mean, they are so freaking talented, man. That team is so, so good. The best team in the country won the championship.
Hannah Stolke's, you know, not a small center and... Cardoso, sorry.
Yes, Camila Cardoso.
Leonardo Barbosa.
Yeah, there you go. Cardoso makes her look like a guard.
Unbelievable.
unbelievable.
I thought Stokey played great, by the way.
6'7". Oh, Stokey was really good.
Oh, no,
why didn't you go to the game, by the way? Why were they putting 44 in there? And I'm like, Stokey, was she in foul? She has two fouls.
She was
probably gassed.
She had to be gassed. But still, 44 was giving you nothing. I'm sitting here going, Stokey carried you early on the second quarter.
We're watching the game, and nothing against, I believe her name is O'Grady, but this is part of the women's game arriving, as, you know, criticism comes along with it as well.
Yes.
She's in the game, and I'm like, every time they pass her the ball, it's a turnover, or it's a block shot. I'm like, and I know it's in the flow of the offense where you're driving, and Cardoza comes over to help out, and you just dish it off to her, and then Cardoza just turns around and swats it, or the ball goes through her hands, or it's a turnover somehow. And I'm like, just put in Stokey. Just keep Stokey. I know she's probably tired, but the last part of the game, like the last 5 minutes of the game, O'Grady continued to be in the game. And I'm like, so clearly the only reason she's in is because Iowa thinks she's a bigger post player, so that will help in boxing out Cardoza, who is dominant in the interior. That must help in doing that, except for the fact that then Cardoza gets an offensive rebound on O'Grady and a putback and a foul, and you're going, good God!
Whenever she touched the ball around the basket, it was almost 2 points every time.
It was a bucket. She's just that dominant. What, 15 points, 17 rebounds?
Yeah.
It would have been cool if she had 5 more points for me that put her having a 20 and 10. That would have been cool if she had 5 more points. I could have used the free throws that she missed. Could have used a couple of bunnies early in the game that she missed. 17 rebounds, fine. I only needed 10, Camila. I needed 5 more points. Get it together. Get it together. Next time I bet on you, you better fucking know it. You better come through. Oh.
Why in the world did they get rid of college prop bets? I don't know why. I don't see any reason why they did that.
It's weird. I'm watching the game and just good board. You've already got 10. Score the rock, Camila. Oh, another block shot. Guess what? I don't have money on a block shot, Camila. Let's go.
Dog.
Come through.
That's on you.
You know, but...
The depth.
But, but it's like, you know, you're watching 07 Cavs versus the 07 Spurs, and I thought it was a mistake. Like, you got to keep Hannah Stolke in because O'Grady wasn't helping you in other parts of the game, and she was also giving up an offensive rebound. I mean, at any offensive rebound, it's like, okay, that's your one job that you're in for. But that's also how freaking good South Carolina is. 40 points they scored off the bench. What was it, 40 to nothing? I mean,
they had like a different 20-point score in each game of the tournament.
It's unreal how
Cardoza doing
it twice. Yeah, Cardoza had it twice. My son was like, ooh, they made a mistake. They put the same person up there twice.
No.
I'm like, well, no. She let him in the, I think, Elite Eight game that she was the leading scorer in that one.
Which is funny because they had 0 20-point scores in this game. It was actually Johnson with 19 off the bench. But the depth.
I know Cardoza didn't have 20.
but you're right. That was the biggest difference was the depth in the bench. I mean, O'Grady, you're mentioning that, but then you watch Johnson, 19, 7 of 11 off the bench. Yeah. I thought Full Wiley off the bench was, I believe she's a freshman too, number 12, with handles that is that Kyrie Irving with the way she cups the ball around the basket? If she gets a little better at finishing.
Brought it in like she was a football player, like holding it in and then laying it up.
Full Wiley, I mean, if you're South Carolina, you're sitting there going, okay, we got some people.
But the freshman class across the country is phenomenal.
Yeah.
You got stud freshman at KU, stud freshman at USC, stud freshman at UConn, stud freshman at South Carolina. Like, you got, this freshman class is brilliant. And we'll see what they can end up doing if they can carry, and hopefully Paige Beckers next year carries the torch and continues with, you know, people paying attention and watching, and we'll see what South Carolina can do, you know, moving forward, and Kim Mulkey at LSU, and did she get this nice group of players together and win a national championship last year, and then can she replicate that? You know, we'll find out, but it's been fascinating to watch it this year, just the phenomenon that has been Caitlin Clark that has done so much for the women's game, and she might be the greatest of all time in influential women's basketball players, in bringing eyes to the TV. Is she the greatest player of all time in women's college basketball? People can talk about that all they want, but she is the greatest draw for eyeballs to the set that we've ever seen in college basketball.
Let me give you a comp here. Steph Curry. She's Steph Curry, and not just the way she plays the game, which obviously I think is similar, but she's Steph Curry in regards of, is she the greatest women's basketball player of all time? Maybe not, but she might be the most influential. I think Steph Curry, whether people want to admit it or not, I think he's way more influential than Michael Jordan. The way he has transformed the game, the way the game is played in today's era. Again, I'm not saying he's better than Michael Jordan. No, I'm not.
But influential in how the game has changed versus, you know, the calculus of threes more than twos.
Just
the calculus of the mid-range jump shot just becoming that of the dodo bird, just extinct in the NBA and in basketball in general.
I'm not saying it's better, but I'm saying I think that Steph Curry and Caitlin Clark, you can make the same comparison here.
No, I know exactly what you're saying. Yeah, that Steph isn't better than Michael Jordan, but Michael Jordan's impact was also marketing too.
Like, sure.
Michael showed the marketing side of it that
global
you can
as well.
Absolutely, global impact, marketing side of it. I mean, he essentially built a company. He built a shoe brand.
Maybe LeBron's the better comp than LeBron. But
LeBron is like people discount LeBron because, well, he's just bigger and he can just bully his way to the basket and lay it up. Okay, well, somehow that's a negative for how good he is. But you're right about the difference in how in the pace and space.
Yeah,
and the Splash Brothers and Steph and Clay and the volume of threes and the percentage of threes versus the percentage of twos. And that's how Iowa stayed in the game. I mean, they jumped out to the huge lead, and Caitlin Clark had 18 in the first half or in the first quarter, and she had all those threes, but she also got fouled twice on threes.
Yeah.
So throw those in there as well. So that's like 5 3-pointers that she hit in the first first quarter based on getting fouled and knocking down actual 3-point shots. And that's how they built that lead. She averaged 4 points per quarter the rest of the way, you know, after that first quarter, because great move by South Carolina switching up and putting different players on Caitlin Clark. And it was difficult for her to get open. But also, there isn't a whole lot of help on Iowa for Caitlin Clark. And that's sort of the phenomenon of they're in this spot, and there aren't many other players that would be on that stage on Iowa if not for Caitlin Clark. It's a fine team. It's a good team with an amazing player. South Carolina has really, really good players and a top 5 pick in the NBA draft and depth that's there and Pau-Pau, which is great. I saw a tweet yesterday that said, you know, Pau-Pau is incredibly humble. Because if that was me, every time I hit a shot, I'd turn around with the double guns, Pau-Pau, and then holster. Every time, Pau-Pau, and then holster. It's like, she never does that. Why does she not do that? I mean, come on. Her last name is Pau-Pau. Come on. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. Continue rolling. More Zone next. All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Mick Schaefer comes up at 1 o'clock, KSHB 41 Sports Director, presented by Empower Payments. And we'll hang out with him, learn funniest best. We'll also eliminate a couple of pieces of sound in the bracket of sound and preview the national championship game tonight with the bracket of sound. That comes up in the 1 o'clock hour. Josh Kaiser will be our guest coming up at noon, 1 Royal Way podcast. And we'll talk some Royals with him. Tweet comes in at J810 Anderson from Tina Harriman says, maybe stick to sports and leave the science to sciencey people. What kind of host would I be if I didn't just throw out random science stuff, whether I was right or wrong? Come on now. Now, if I'm not mistaken, the sun revolves around the Earth, if I'm not mistaken. The planets revolve around the asteroid belt. Separates the Earth from other planets because, come on, bro, get on our level. I mean, right?
Earth is also flat, too. So it's not, everyone's been saying it's a sphere. It's more of a flat surface.
Yeah, it's just flat. It sits there.
Big piece of paper.
And there's the asteroids around it to keep people out of our area.
Yes.
And then a bunch of planets and a sun thingy that brings us heat, because if it doesn't, to hell with you, dude. We're the Earth.
Where's the moon get involved here?
Just hanging out with the sun today. Just kicking it.